You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 316. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Miyamo Miguel Kaplan.
Oh, he did the full thing in Spanish this time. You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram, on all social media platforms. I'm putting new stand-up comedy videos up all the time. At turnersparks.com is my tour dates, but I'll have all those on Instagram too. Follow Kaplan at Cap'n America on all social media platforms. Kaplan, we have Felix Buenaventura coming in just a minute. From Argentina, all the way from Buenos Aires, Argentina. I have to tell the audience, we did 40 minutes of this podcast just now with Felix and took a break.
Fantastic episode.
And you caught something. You said, Turner, I don't think you ever pressed record. So
just noticed it.
We were doing an entire episode just for the three of us. There's absolutely
fun.
No way to recover it because it didn't exist in the first place. It was just us having a conversation. Yep.
My dog Pancakes was here on the couch. She was enjoying it. She was laughing over there. So I know it was a good episode. It'll be lost to history, unfortunately, but let's do it again.
We're going to put it back together before. So what we're going to do, this will be slightly different from the episodes you heard. Kaplan and I are going to say what we know about this topic. It's going to be a lot. We're going to go as far as we can. We'll bring Felix in just a minute and we'll see how far we can get teaching Felix and the audience about his own country. It's a real I don't even know what the term
mansplaining,
is. Mansplaining to another man. But Cap, before that, patreon.com/lostinamerica. That's the way to support this podcast. Go there. patreon.com/lostinamerica. $5 a month gets you our bonus show, Lost in the Bunker, where Kaplan and I always press record over there. And two of us talking about our lives. Me talking about, I just got off a stand-up comedy tour. I was around Oregon, Texas, California, the great state of Ohio, John Kasich was out there. Oregon. Guess who I ran into in Oregon, Kaplan? I will give you
Clyde Drexler.
I was in Oregon. I was in Corvallis, Oregon, playing at Corvallis Country Club, two blocks away from Oregon State University. It was Stars Come Home weekend for Oregon State football. Sitting in the bar of the country club when I walked out of my show, who do you think it was?
I'm trying to think who went to Oregon. Chip Kelly? No, that was Oregon.
Dennis Erickson.
The coach, Dennis Erickson.
He won two national championships at University of Miami. That's all. Anyway, that's a taste. That's all on the show. I went down to Oregon, University of Oregon.
It's a full story of meeting Dennis Erickson for $5.
Two-time national championship at the U.
You've all wanted to know what it's like to meet Dennis Erickson.
I partied with the University of Oregon Ducks cardiologist, the team cardiologist, all that. Plus, Kaplan, you were on the stand of the Robert De Niro trial.
The trial of the century. We did a Lost in America episode dedicated to a periphery of that topic, but we've done three Patreon episodes.
Cato Kaplan, you took the stand.
Cato Kaplan, exactly.
I'm currently working on getting, if anyone knows how to do this, I think I know, but so they, you know, the sketch artist, Felix, come on in. Yeah. We've been here for 40 minutes. We might as well just bring you in at this point.
Yes.
Felix,
I used to work for the actor Robert De Niro, we should say.
I want to give you a proper introduction. You know, Felix, you've seen what Comedy Central Latin America. He's performed on many times. He's a fantastic comedian out of Argentina. He has a YouTube special out right now in English, but I want you to give the Spanish title so people can Google it. But in English, the title, Swimming in the Drool of Giants, much like Standing on the Shoulders of Giants.
That is correct.
Great Oasis album.
It's currently on YouTube.
Yeah.
How do we say it in Spanish?
Nadando en baba de gigantes.
Yes.
That's how it sounds.
Check that out. YouTube special. You're also a screenwriter. You've done a ton of things down there. What was I just talking about? What did I want to bring him in for? I totally forget at this point.
The trial. You were something about the trial.
So here's what I want to get.
Oh, the sketch artist. You went the sketch artist.
Felix, do you know how that for popular trials in the United States, at least, they don't allow the cameras aren't always allowed in.
Yeah,
these celebrity trials.
I've seen Jury Duty.
You've seen Jury Duty. So they bring in a sketch artist, someone to draw the people sitting on the stand. So there's this sketch of Robert De Niro sitting on the stand. I did the math. I says, if there's a sketch of Robert De Niro on the stand, there's a sketch of Sir Michael Ira Kaplan on the stand as well. I want to get that sketch and make that our podcast t-shirts. It says Lost in America. And then Kaplan sketch on the stage.
I love the idea, but I got to tell you one thing. Over Thanksgiving, I had a text from podcast listener Noah Klossman. And he says to me, I'm at my Thanksgiving and my cousin's friend was this stenographer in your trial. The one who like types you out the court. And she thought you were hilarious, which made me happy. And I said, can you put me in touch with her? I want to get the sketch artist. And he said, oh, I don't think they had a sketch artist for you, just for Robert De Niro. So what an
That is. Your cousin told you this information? How would your cousin
Of a friend. A cousin of a friend was the stenographer on the case.
The friend said, maybe they don't. Please, we don't give up
but
that easy.
Maybe they're wrong. Maybe they're wrong.
They're wrong.
So Not to be a bad human, Cap, but if I had to draw you or Robert De Niro, I'd definitely go for Robert De Niro first.
It's not one or the other.
It's not supposed to be a looks competition.
I will also say, in researching this, I found out that anyone can hire their own sketch artist. So if you ever go on trial, just hire a sketch. It's like $50 an hour. They'll come draw you. We could all have our own sketch artist. So get a sketch artist.
Why didn't we do that beforehand? That could have been a Patreon level. You could become the sketch artist.
Yeah.
Bring you to court.
Anyway, and more.
Just the concept.
Patreon.com/lost.
I love the concept.
We're going to do it. We're going to make the shirts. I'm not giving up. Now, Felix, because we've already done 40 minutes of this, how about we recite back to you? This is almost like a book report. What we know about this topic.
I fucking love it.
And you guide us through this. And thank you very much for sitting through a second back-to-back episode with you when the first one was not recorded. Okay.
Oh, no worries at all.
Do you want to go first, Cap?
You go first.
Okay,
I think you should lead.
Okay.
I want to hear what you got.
Argentina, I'm speaking to America here. When I say that, I mean our listeners around the world. Argentina recently elected a new president. Javier Milei is his name. He is an anarchist slash capitalist or an anarchist dash capitalist, meaning he's both. He says, I want capitalism, but I want capitalism in the sense that everything's for sale. I want to be able to sell my children. I want to be able to sell kidneys, not black market, the blue market. What's the other market? The green market.
The free market. Everything's for
eBay.
If Kaplan wants to put his Teddy Kaplan up for sale, good looking kid. Maybe what can I get for him? Pay off my loans. Boom. I can do it. I'm allowed.
sell your kids on eBay, says the new president. He takes over on Sunday of this week. He's never been president. Oh, no. I don't know. Has he ever worked in politics before, Javier?
Nope.
Felix. Has Javier ever worked in politics?
Javier Milei's on the show now.
Yeah. Has Javier Milei ever worked in politics? Felix.
Yeah, destroy everything. No, he's in the Congress at the moment, but he never, ever, ever goes. And one of these, his advertising things was that he would made a lottery to win what he was paid for working at the government. So you would get his
salary,
his wage, his salary. Exactly. That's correct. His salary every month, a different person can win it because he doesn't need it.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I might vote for him.
So where does
that's the problem. Is where is he making the money out of?
Yeah, that's my question.
The question.
Yeah, where is his money from?
Well, you know, if he wins now and you can see what's going on in private, there's actually this idea that there's a group called Atlas Group that has been financing him. I don't know. It's just so dodgy to even read about it that I don't even want to know. But yeah, obviously, the guy has. Do you know about his dog?
No,
his dog.
We didn't cover that in the first.
We didn't cover that part. No. Let's start with that. Stuff we didn't cover.
Oh, guys. Oh, wait. No. This is amazing. No.
We're definitely recording now. I just want to say. Yes,
fantastic. The good stuff.
So much juice. Yeah. No. He has a dog named Conan. There were jokes about him already because he has a complete. He's completely lost for him. He doesn't have a family. He has a very weird relationship with his sister, kind of like in a Targaryen kind of way, maybe a little bit like Game of Thrones.
Clones. He has five clone dogs.
He has five clone dogs. Yeah, but we have so much information now at the moment because
back up. Wait, but he has a sexual relationship with his own sister.
He doesn't, but he had to go and clarify that he didn't. He was the only president candidate ever in the world to say, I'm not fucking my sister.
Just so you know.
Most people don't have to say that.
Is his sister hot? Like, why?
No, not at all. Not at all.
That's the reason.
So that's very...
Why he's not.
Yeah. So, but he has... His dog, let me go back. He talked to a medium, all right? Javier Milei talked to a medium, a person.
Okay.
A medium, yeah. And that person went, oh, you and your dog were colleagues, were friends in the Colosseum in Rome.
Whoa.
Many lives ago. Yes. Mm. Yes. And now they're together again, thanks to reincarnation. And his dog died a long time ago. His dog died, but he cloned it. So he has that very same dog.
He has four clones,
four
right?
Five times.
Yeah, I think he has four
clones.
Yeah,
he has four clones.
Oh, and my gosh.
I'm just reading this now. He said that he would appoint the scientist who did the cloning to an influential scientist. Scientific council in the country.
No.
Do you see what I'm talking about? Every little string you get is just like this amazing sweater. So, oh, shit.
So he's going to take a chainsaw to all of the government agencies. He's going to cut spending, but he's going to have a national cloning like agency. That's gonna be the one we're gonna keep.
Yeah. And every dog is like the price of an apartment. So he has like four apartments that eat.
Can we, Felix? Is this a common thing in Argentina to clone animals? Because I've never heard of anyone doing it in the United States.
No, that's the most Streisand, fucking. That's just preposterous. Okay. We have a complete sense. of you die, you're gone. That's something that we think is normal now because our soon-to-be president. So we have to explain it to people in other countries, everything that's going on about him, that we are like, oh, yes, I have that information about him. My life can go on. But everyone's like, wait, is this a thing in Argentina? No, we're a regular ass country. We're really cool people. We're all right. We have a lot of fun.
Because I was going to say,
this thing happened.
Cloning Lionel Messi, doesn't that seem like the next move?
That should be.
If we're into cloning now.
Seems like more.
Yeah. We should. Yeah. Well, why not? We definitely see a business there.
It's like $50,000 to clone a dog, by the way. So
yeah.
So if he did it four times, he spent $200,000 in a country that has 40% poverty. I read that. I don't even see how this makes him a populist at all. It's crazy.
No. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Let's keep going with what we learned, Cap. So I learned. He got 56% of the vote. He did win democratically elected. It was a real election.
Yes.
He got 56% of the vote. Yeah. And the opposing party is somehow connected to Evita.
Evita Perón still.
Yeah, that is correct.
It's her spirit. All the socialists are just, they don't say socialism. That's boring. They say Peronistas.
Peronistas.
Yeah, that is very correct.
That's what I learned.
And the recent history of the Peronistas, or at least the country, has had massive inflation over the last number of years. And so that seems to have created this environment to where people said, let's screw it. Let's take a chance on this dude.
Let's take a chance on the guy who's going to destroy it. Who took a pinata, destroyed the pinatas of every single thing. And has the
Kevin, explain the that part. Because remember, the audience didn't hear the previous episode we did.
Oh, yes.
He's basically, as you said, an capitalist libertarian. He wants to get rid of every government agency that takes care of people. Like he wants, I think we learned that he wants to basically people in their towns can deal with the roads themselves. They can deal with everything themselves. And he just wants to, I mean, I understand that you have a lot of inflation. You have a lot of spending issues because the IMF, one other thing we learned, I think, is the IMF gave you $100 billion. We weren't sure if it was $100 billion, $100 trillion. We never clarified that, but it gave you a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I guess that now that you've got to pay it back, right? Is that also, I don't know if we even covered that, but
the president who took that debt, half of it's gone. He's in the Panama Papers and everything.
Yes, the prior president, who was a right of center guy too, in 2015 and 19, he basically made half the money the IMF disappear, which is part of the problem. And now he's someone going to avoid jail because they're not friends though. He's not friends with the new president, right?
He's actually the real new president. Milei is just a clown. He's just the guy who's like, have you seen Years and Years? You want to see that show. It's an amazing show. It's an English show about how in the future family goes and see how Britain becomes a very fascist country. There's one character played by Emma Thompson that everybody hates because she says the most ridiculous things on the telly every single day. And they go, why is she even on the television if everybody's saying this is ridiculous? And then she gets elected. So there's this kind of thing, this is ridiculous. But that guy was the guy that we saw on the television every single day. And he was saying the most obnoxious things that you'd hear. And it's like, that makes no sense at all. And at this point, you know, he clearly made his way through. But he's not going to do all of the stuff that he says he's going to do because he got a civil war within a week.
Well, what?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have control
here.
Of the Congress, right? Yeah.
What? What's his background? I think you told us part of it in the past. But so how did he rise up to these ranks? We didn't get that full story.
Well, he started appearing on the television a lot, basically. He's an economist, and he just, you know, he has this group that pays him to be on television.
He's good on television. Is it because he's so excited?
Yeah, that's basically it. And, you know, he's an economist. He has a couple of papers, but they sell him as a genius. But everybody who knows a little bit about economy knows two things, basically. It's not an exact science, because it's not the same to say you know how to govern a country than to actually lead it. You know, it's everything's good in theory, but he's not even that good. Like, nobody quotes him on his university papers or everything. It's just like, yeah, he's just that guy. But he's managed by being so eccentric to call people's attention. And actually, his crew would go and say the wildest things possible as well, until they had to, you know, keep them quiet a bit. They say, yeah, stop talking for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because because it's like if I say I hate the Beatles, everyone would go like, why? Everybody loves the Beatles. And that's just how you, yeah. So that's how he became, you should... You should be able to, you know, wear a fake mustache in the bank. You know, it's just like, what? And
it's this crazy stuff.
This idea.
He's like a fun.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the fun professor in college, Dead Poets Society or something. Like, you always want the fun guy. The class.
Yeah, he was kicked out of college as a professor because he was very violent.
And is this the way?
True. This is true.
So he basically designed this character as a way to get ratings, to get people to watch him on TV.
Yeah.
And then that became popular. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things that, align themselves, which of course has to be with the current president failing to the people, losing focus on that and being focused on things that are not as important at the moment. We also had the drought, we had the pandemics. So it was quite obvious that, you know, the president wasn't going to be reelected. He didn't even show up. We have a different candidate that was doing all right, but not that much all right. He's the economy minister now, and he's, you know, it's just we're trying to make it easy for them to change. But the guy was just. Have you seen this documentary? Have you seen this documentary about? I think it's on Google or something. It's about how now they create personalities. Now I don't go for fake news. I go for a guy who would say this and this and this and this. And then you can, by Google, using, you know, the engines and everything, you can actually make someone a pop star.
Oh.
Just by, you create a personality. You don't even have to sing well. Who sings well?
Not many people, you know, anymore. Yeah, I know what you're saying. So it's almost like the algorithm can create a person.
That's exactly what happened. I know it sounds very like I have a team hat made of aluminium, but it's what happened. You know, it's,
I mean, he's got the hair. He's got like the Boris Johnson hair. He looks the part. As Turner said on the last step, when he won the election, he was dancing like a crazy person. He's got the he's got the Chanel, but that's just his person. That's how he lives life.
I will say, frankly, there's presidents around the world that win elections all the time, but I don't hear about them. But I heard about this guy because the video of him going crazy, dancing like a maniac on stage when he won the election, it looked like he was in like a punk rock club or something. It wasn't like a giant stage. It was like a small stage, but he was going nuts. He was like crowd surfing, and that made it. So it came to my algorithm. I saw him on my Twitter and I'm like, all right, we should do an episode on this guy. Who is this maniac?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, he's not as hygienic as a punk rock crowd. He doesn't look like a very clean person at all. He has this leather jacket that I just, you know, when you can smell it, even though it's on the television.
Yes,
he was in.
So was let in me ask you this:
tribute band? Is that?
Let me ask you this. You don't like him. Not only like is he nuts and he clones his animals, but his policy is something you don't like. What is it about it that you don't like?
Well, you know, this basically we have this idea that we have a lot of things that belong to the state that work. Like we have our own airlines. And we have a petroleum for the next 30 years that nobody's, we don't have to dig for it. It's there and it's federal. It's from the state. So we have, you know, a very cool businesses that he's selling. He's selling, you know, already. He's selling like our satellites as well. And it's like, why? It's not for real money, you know. So he basically says, well, you know, this is what he was, it was on his platform, all right, that we shouldn't have the state in the middle of stuff. The state makes things more even. For instance, we have universal free health.
Okay.
The hospitals are free. And we have college. College is free.
Really?
This is amazing.
Great professors
amazing.
Like
amazing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's the very yes, that is correct. It's not perfect. but our college is very good everywhere in Latin America. Everyone knows that. So a lot of people from other countries come to study here as well.
Okay.
And he wants everything to be private, which would make a bigger difference between classes. It would basically destroy what we call middle class. That is just like basically a lot of people are middle class. I myself am, and I entertain people who are middle class. I am a stand-up comic. That's for who stand-up comedy is. So I'm not really a big fan of destroying everything. And then, you know, just knowing that you can, he was very eager to say that I'm not going to pay taxes so everyone can go to school or go to take care of themselves. Say you have there's this very American way of seeing health that I really don't like. That's just like, oh, you know, you fell on your back. You want us to call an ambulance. And I heard many stories of people in America just going like, no, don't call an ambulance.
Definitely. Most people.
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have insurance, basically. Yeah. You don't.
Yeah. We don't need one. We have good professionals on the hospitals that would take care of you. And, you know, if you have a problem, you're not losing, you know, your house.
And what about?
Yeah,
he wants to. Okay.
No, I was just going to say,
if you don't have a house, what he was proposing was like, oh well, sell one of your lungs, and it's like, Jesus. That's not how it works. How lungs.
Organs. Sell your
lungs. Sell a lung. You die. Yeah. You can't exist with one lung.
We don't need two kidneys, right? People are donating all the time.
That's the thing, but that's the thing. That's not how organs work.
Right. It's also not how societies stay together when people are resorting to sell your dog.
Exactly.
You can clone your dog and sell it. Then you can, what about then, a more serious solution that he's talking about, like pegging the dollar to the peso? Is there something?
Oh yeah, that happened. That happened already in the 90s, and that then ended up in an explosion where
everything collapsed.
Let him finish.
Yeah, everything collapsed.
So is that a good idea?
That's correct. That's what happened.
Okay. Why did it collapse?
Because when we were having $1, it wasn't a realistic thing that was happening. It was just like but people were so busy going to Miami or whatever that just they didn't even notice that they didn't even care that they were selling off the country. They were selling out, you know, our petroleum. They were privatizing all of the things that were, you know, that were good. It's like selling your car. You know, you sell your car, you have a good amount of money until you have no money and no car. Mm. That's not so everything exploded because of that. And a lot of banks took off. And a lot of those banks never paid the debt that they had with our country because they were like, oh, no, that was Scotia Bank Argentina, not Scotia Bank. And he was like,
we changed our name.
Yeah,
this happened exactly, in like 2001, right? When the whole, you had this whole crisis.
So the banks basically invented a way, a new way to fuck people over. That's basically what they did.
Because that seems like two issues. One issue is the country's government just selling off all these assets for a one-time money income. But the second issue is tying it to the US dollar. Are those connected?
Oh yeah, well basically that's what created the illusion. You know, everything else was happening behind it, but nobody was paying attention because they were all busy just, you know, traveling around.
Traveling to Miami.
Basically, but they created a lot of poverty and you know, when that we haven't really recovered from that poverty yet. And now the pandemics and everything made everything worse. But we had a lot of debt and the president that we had after that, who is Nestor Kirchner, he paid the debt that we have to the IMF, which was a very incredible thing to do. He's one of the three presidents that have ever done it. And everyone else just took money. Everyone else just took debt. Now, if you were to dollarize our economy and just leave the peso, that's something that's even worse, because that, then we would be a colony and nobody wants to be. We're not really a big fan of that. We should. Oh yeah, their economy is fantastic.
El Salvador.
But the thing is, you know that you can use Bitcoin there. It's ridiculous as well. But the thing is that I should actually. We were joking about it on the episode, on the non-recorded episode, about how if you go to Javier Milei's Instagram account, you know his bio. He's like, yeah, you want to do some trading? Go to this website. He's like, yeah, come on. All the other kids are doing it.
He's a complete...
And, you know, he could have anything in there. That's amazing. He could have like, yeah, hey, you want to do a casino online? get your parents' credit card.
But send me money. I'll get you like 500,000 Instagram followers.
Do you want to buy a clone dog? Click on this link.
Yeah, completely. Completely.
All right, you guys, we should take a break. We're halfway through the episode right now. We are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. That is us. That is the Majoring in Everything podcast with Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy. That is the Political Orphanage with Andrew Heaton. All of us were in a meeting yesterday writing for his Christmas episode, which will be coming out soon. Listen to all those shows and our show, World's Smartest Podcast Network. Support everybody. All right. And now a word from your local sponsor.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you, local sponsors.
Thank you, sponsors. We are back. I want to ask, so we've established that this guy's a psycho. He clones dogs. He's a complete nutcase. I want to know, like, why... And you told us a little bit about this before with his audience of Bitcoin people or his bros. Why did he get elected? How come? Where did we get to where he could get 56% of the vote in Argentina? Someone who's so nuts.
Well, basically, our president from 2015 to 2019, he's the guy who took the debt and disappeared and blah, blah, blah. He was
wait, tell them, but the audience elected. Didn't hear that part. So tell us that.
Oh,
part.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought we went through that. There was a guy on 2015. He took 100 billions for you guys, billions, your billions, dollars debt to the IMF. And then half of it's gone. We don't know where it is. We don't know where it is at all. He still has a party, a political party. They came third on the elections.
In this Javier most Millet recent elections,
the steal money from the IMF party came in third.
Wow! That's
their platform.
Yeah. Well, you know,
screw the IMF. Let's steal.
Yeah, they were the third. The second was Javier Milei. And the first was, you know, socialist peronismo.
This was in the first round of the election before the runoff.
Yeah. And then, you know, we had Balotage, where you have to pick between two. So we had the peronist party and then Javier Milei, who was way beneath it. But he joined Macri. He joined the third one. And then they became stronger together.
Got it.
So basically,
Peronius...
and now everybody.
Go ahead.
No, and there's this now everyone from Macri's political party is taking over. You know, Javier Milei's cabinet. Like you guys say cabinet, like mm-hmm. when right. So everybody, the ministers and everything.
He has to make peace with the more right center party to have people to help run the government with him.
Yeah, so it seems like what happened was this Peronius, right?
That's good enough.
They are, as you had said, they're more of the socialist side. And then
you can say socialist
Javier Milei, who's the anarchist capitalist. And then you had this other, the third group, and they actually got second and third in the primary, but they linked up together to beat the party who'd gotten the most, which was the Peronist in the general election. So
yeah.
And
don't get me wrong. We had to do an economic adjustment, and a little bit was trying to vote between three ways of coming out of this, of this valley that we're under right now with money. And they were all a little bit right wing. Just one that was the Peronist one was a bit more ordered. And then this guy is just like, fuck it all. Just let everything explode.
That's so what I was going to ask. What would be the... Sorry.
A vote for Javier Milei was a vote to say, screw everything. We got to blow it all up. Because whatever has been happening recently, these are traditional politicians, political figures, but the traditional hasn't been working. Our country's in massive debt and everything's going downhill. So screw it. Let's blow it up. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much right. But the thing is, they're not proposing anything that's good for the people. They're just going like, yeah, whatever. You know, they're not... Because you can see, you know, this phenomenon of totalitarian populism that you have in Italy, for instance, with Meloni. And a lot of other people, but the problem is that they go and they talk about having a national industry, and these guys are like, yeah, no, if I want to get something from China, I get it from China, and that would destroy the middle class.
Because this guy's a free trade guy. He's not like a populist the way Trump is or Maloney, like a nativist. He's like a pure economic. He's an economics professor. He wants free trade. And he's like a social experiment almost with your country is what his solution.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's where we're in a big social experiment.
Pure Milton Friedman. But what's the alternative? Because I mean, we've discussed the 140% inflation in October.
Yeah.
Peso is pretty worthless versus the dollar right now. I think it's like it's 1,000 pesos for a dollar. It used to be 80. So what was the reasonable alternative the voters were presented with?
Well, there were a couple of very good and order ideas about how to get out and how to we have lithium, for instance, and now to sell it out. We have lithium, for instance, and now the difference is that like that's something like they can go and sell it above without this state in the middle, and that's very dangerous because that's something that you want to share with everyone because it's part of the country. And he's like, no, fuck all, you know, you wanted Elon Musk, what do you have in your pocket?
Right, those Tesla batteries, if America wants to make electric cars as many as, and frankly the Biden administration wants us to make and everything, that we need your lithium.
I mean, so lithium is the new oil in terms of cars. Cars are not going to be running on gas anymore. They're going to be running on lithium. That could be that. That's a natural resource that you definitely want the country to hold on to and not just to sell one time off to Elon Musk and the boys.
Yeah, that's basically it. And also, you know, there was this idea that the economic adjustment would be ordered. There were a lot of propositions about it. And not just the problem is that there was a lot of people who would give Javier Milei hope as a change. Because
hope and
of
change.
Hope and change. Yeah, exactly. But the thing is that they would think, oh no, this new guy is gonna take care of the narcos. And like I literally heard someone say that, and it's not in his platform at all. It's just like, no, this guy is gonna do. And it's like they were giving him, you know, this values that he wasn't even proposing. Like he's gonna come here and he's gonna make my dog live again. You know, whatever. It's just like people were like, it's gonna be different.
Is narco? I would imagine he would be hands off on narcos. If he wants total liberal free economy, then he would want liberal free drug trafficking as well, right?
But legalized though. He wants legalized though.
I mean, who knows?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. Legalize fentanyl. That's a good idea.
Is that an issue in the country? Is narco trafficking an issue in Argentina?
No. I mean, it is in some cities, but not that much. It's not like we're, you know, it's just the same as every other country that has drugs around. It's not particularly. We know who the guys are. Yeah. They live in a private, you know, country house and whatever, you know, but they're going to be all right.
Over there.
What about comedy wise? So we had read that he wants to do some version of a Brexit, like an Argentina Brexit, which I then researched to find out what that meant. And it means that I guess Argentina has a partnership with 7 or 8 or 9 countries around South America, including, let me see the list, Brazil, Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Paraguay, Uruguay. And all these countries have this partnership where you can bounce around and work in all these each other's countries. There's a free trade agreement. And he wants to get rid of this. He wants to pull Argentina out because I think his reasoning was just kind of less government. He wants less government. So therefore, he doesn't want other countries. I don't even know why.
He just calls everything that he disagrees with, he calls them lefties, and really true. They do have, like, Brazil, which is a continent within Latin America as well.
Sure.
Such a huge place, and they have a socialist president now, Lula, who is amazing. And he was like, I'm not even gonna talk to him, and we're gonna get business with him, and he's not gonna. You know, it's just what he says out loud. It makes no sense whatsoever for the country.
So Javier Milei is saying, I won't work with Lula. I won't speak to Lula because he's a socialist or something like that.
Yeah, but he took back most of what he said. He took because it was something that he was, you know, trying to get a ratio on Twitter. You know, it's not like a real thing. You know, it's not
right. Governing is different than being on Twitter, as he's going to learn. You have to
for comedy. Is it normal for you all to tour each other's countries in South America, comedy wise, or is it pretty different culturally and stuff?
Well, you know, if you make a name of your own, you can go to Uruguay. That's quite easy. Chile. Those are all right places to go, but not that much, you know, because comedies spin around. I don't know, since the invention of YouTube, stand-up comedy, I think it's how it works worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think if you pay attention to how it developed in every country that didn't have stand-up comedy before, they're all like, I've been around for 19 years. Comedy, stand-up comedy has been around for 20 years now in Buenos Aires. And that's the same as in many other countries, but they developed in a different speed. So you can go and do, and some countries are all right, Colombia as well. But you don't, that's only if you're an adventurer. Otherwise, you're right.
So there's no like kind of middle class of comedy to go make a living on the road around South America.
Yeah, there is, but you do it within your own country, basically.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. You don't need to.
But there's not a. We don't have an industry built around it. So every comedian that would go and do on their own, you know, their tour. It's not like we have a community of places that have a stand-up every week. We don't have the 20-minute thing. You know, it's just basically you do well, you travel around, you get people to see you, you make some money, you pay the bills. That's it.
Okay.
Some comedians do better than that.
Yeah, it's not like every major city has a regular club that's booking headliners every weekend.
Nah,
like that.
No. You go to a specific event as if you were about to watch a rock band, which I think it's quite interesting as well. That's the same as every other place. You know, every country finds a way to exist. But you know, you guys are the ones who created stand up comedy because you didn't know how to make karaoke's work. but now, you know.
No, we just needed some entertainment between the strippers. You know, that's why we created stand-up comedy.
If only you could have found how to work with midis and music.
Yeah.
But yeah. But we have our fun. There's a very nice community of good humans. And I have to say, Javier Milei going to Power is pretty fucking funny.
That's what I say. It's great for comedy. You'd be happy about that. Don't you?
Yeah. The only problem is that more than half of the country voted for him. So the people who voted for him don't like to, that, you know, right wing, they don't know how to laugh at themselves. And people who feel betrayed, who will feel betrayed by Javier Milei, because that's inevitably what's going to happen, because he's taking back a lot of the things he said, and now he has no one in power except for Macri stuff. So they're going to feel betrayed, and I don't know how much they're going to like if you just tease them. But what are you going to do? You know, you got to laugh.
You'll find the angle. I mean, there was the first couple years after Trump got elected, it almost got to a point where it was like pretty hacky to do Trump, because we all knew Trump was a crazy person. He was nuts. So then the people who loved him, it got to a point where the people who loved him, obviously they don't want to hear about it. But then even the people who don't like him don't want to hear his name at all. They were like, I came to comedy to hear something else. But then like specific people started finding angles on him that could be funny, that everyone could laugh at. It just took an extra layer, you know, of writing.
Yeah, I really like John Mulaney's bit about having Trump as a president is like having a horse in a hospital.
Yeah, and I remember him saying he specifically doesn't use the word Trump at one point in that bit.
Oh, yes.
He never says Trump because that reason. He was like, I knew if I bring up the word, it's like already everyone's tight. So you just don't, he never mentioned the word once. That's exact example. There's ways to figure it out, I think.
Yeah, and it's fun. You know, that's our job. It keeps your mind busy,
yes,
which is good. I love it.
And the people show chainsaws to rallies.
You could bring chainsaws out on stage.
I was saying the people who show up chainsaws to rallies, you're saying they don't want to hear jokes about their guy.
intimidating
a little bit.
I really think it's the most stupid thing to do is to say we're gonna end universal free health and then give chainsaws to people who don't know how to operate the chainsaw.
I mean,
ridiculous.
You had mentioned, I can't even remember if it was on this one or the one we didn't record, but you mentioned that the American style of healthcare you disagree with, which is this idea. I think it was on this one that if you get an ambulance,
it was this one. Yeah.
You have to pay for your own ambulance and everything. I will say what United States politicians are now finding out, American people don't agree with that either on either side. So there's Republican politicians who will say, if I get elected, I'm taking away the Obamacare. Like we have this version of free health, or it's not even free. It's cheaper healthcare. It's still expensive actually, but I'm taking it away. But then they find out their own people are on it. There's now 30 or 40 million Americans who use this healthcare, Republicans and Democrats. So now it's impossible to take away. So I think everybody wants more of it.
Of course. And I think it's fair as a society. For instance, my mother has dementia and she's in a nursing home. And our state pays for it. And otherwise it would be impossible. I was telling this to a friend of mine from Mexico about how our health system works. And he was like, oh, if you have parents that need to be in a nursing home in Mexico, you need to become a narco, basically. Really? And his parents are in a nursing home. So I think he was telling me he's a narco.
Yeah. Pretty much. Wink, wink. And then speaking of healthcare, abortion was always illegal, but was just legalized in 2020 in Argentina.
Yeah. But that's the beauty of it. It was a feminist move. Javier Milei obviously is the backlash to feminist movement. Yeah, and
he's a libertarian. Shouldn't he be supporting it? He doesn't.
Comes from a very. The people who pay for everything that are Atlas groups, they're very much against it. So he had this this woman in power, and one of the laws that she was trying to promote was that if you're a man, since they cannot get rid of abortion, or you know, it's not that easy now that it's legal. But this woman, who's one of the people in his crew, if you get, how was it? If you get pregnant, the father has like 2 weeks or 4 weeks or something to abandon fatherhood. That means like, he can go, not my problem.
A grace period.
Wait, so it's like that. It's like 6 weeks to have an abortion, but it's not having an abortion. It's just the father is allowed to just leave the family.
Yeah, that is correct.
How is that the solution?
That's not a solution. That's just a thing that you say so you get good ratio on Twitter. Right. Wow. It makes no sense at all.
Also, he's a guy who's banging his sister, as we discussed. I mean, he's got.
So is Argentina. Actually, I wish I could bet on this. I predict that 3 months from now, 6 months from now, we're going to see like Jake Paul and all these people, maybe Joe Rogan, their new podcast studio. They're going to be coming to you live from like Buenos Aires, Argentina.
It's going to be a new place.
And the president is going to be subsidizing him. Like, I'll pay you $100,000 to move here and run your podcast out of here.
I'm cloning your dog for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I see that. And if you don't have Joe Rogan as a possibility, another shit comic.
Anyone else?
What about us? Actually, what if he brings us down?
It's frankly not a bad move if you're the president, because if you say, I'll pay Joe Rogan $1 million a year, you know, he's just going to talk about how awesome you are and how awesome your country is and how awesome you are as a president. So it's like global PR. He should do this, actually. Shouldn't he?
It's an idea.
It's the same thing. Like, all these people now have convinced themselves that Austin, Texas is this great place to live because Joe Rogan's there. Guess what? Austin, Texas sucks. I've been there multiple times. Sacramento, California is a much better city. There's nothing to do in Austin.
Buenos Aires is a way better city, and I've never been.
There's 100,000
steaks. Yeah.
Austin stinks. And anyway, that's all. That I'm off my soapbox with that. But
speaking of PR.
Go ahead, Kev.
Before we wrap up, I mentioned the last episode. I got to give a shout out to, he became president of your country, and literally the first thing he did was he came to America and he met with Menachem Schmierson. I don't know if Turner, if you know who that is, but he's like,
no.
Or he went to Menachem Schmierson's grave, sorry, who was the Orthodox Hasidic rabbi who died in the 90s, who people think is like the Messiah. And he had a trip and he met with all these rabbis, and he came out of the meeting and he goes, I'm converting to Judaism. So he is now going to be a third Jewish world leader, Zelensky, Netanyahu,
Mazel tov,
this guy.
Congratulations.
So I'm not completely, you've said a lot of bad things about this guy, but I, as a member of the tribe, I got to root for him a little bit. I'm still waiting to decide.
Yeah, you know, he's working for the headlines, all right.
So yeah, and people love the Jews, as we know, so it's going
to
work out great.
Yeah, it's a great time to become a Jew. Anti-Semitism's at a world high, and he's like, maybe this is what I should be. What about this, Felix? So does he, as we've said, he kind of won with his party actually doesn't have that much power now And it's a it's a system where you have to get every what's it called? What are the systems called? It where
well,
you,
no, they have a senator like we do, right?
A Senate, but you also need to be able to push anything through. You need a majority. So is he going to actually be able to do any of this? Do you think?
Well, you know, apparently in 2 years he's gonna because we have to renovate the Congress, but at the same time.
Sorry, 2 years. He's what?
Already has some power. Yeah, he has to renovate the Congress.
In 2 years,
we have elections.
There'll be elections for Congress in 2 years. So okay, cool. If he gets his party in, then yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, the problem is that he already has a lot of people, which are Macri's people, already in the Congress. So the president, I have to say, it's not Milei, it's Macri. Of course, he's the same guy he's the guy who disappeared the money. He's the owner of the country now again. Okay. And this guy is just a clown that he made Macri went and he's just such a megalomaniac asshole. Like he was in a nobody wanted him as a president. That is the truth.
The guy who was the president from 15 to 19.
Yeah. That's correct. He was in a show, a TV show recently, in an interview, and they went, "Why do you think your party lost so much?" And he went, "Well, there's many theories. One was that I was not the leader. Two was that we announced that I wasn't the leader very late." And it was all of the theories were rounded about him. And he's like, "No, that's not why, because you sink our country's economy." Yeah.
What's the party that Milei is actually in? Is it a libertarian, like arco-capitalist party?
Yeah, it's called La Libertad Avanza, which it would be translated as freedom, freedom Goes party. Forward.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but the problem is that it's not a freedom politics that he is going for. He's going for free economics, which are definitely not good for politics.
And what about on the
left?
They
don't marinate well.
Is there any left-wing party besides the Peronists who could come up? Because obviously they were in power from like 2003 to 15, so they also clearly they had some problems with their governing as well.
Definitely. The reason why we still have Peronism is because it's a bunch of ideas that will never die, and it's a way of just how to go forward with the country. There's like 40% of people that will remain thinking the same way. And then there's about 10% of people that will don't know how to go through with it, say 10 to 20%. And there's already 40% that hate them.
Right.
So we have, how it works.
And you had Madonna and memorialize that move.
You got Madonna on your side. These parties don't die. It's like they don't.
Yeah,
the Republicans definitely. And Democrats will be there forever. They the change. Will be there forever. It's the same name. They just they don't go away.
Yeah. We change. We renovate. We
renovate.
Reinvent.
Renovate.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck.
It's gonna be all right.
Felix Buenaventura. Yeah. Thank you for doing the show. Thank you for doing it twice. And
double thank you. I was gonna say mucho gracias.
Everyone, follow him on Instagram at Felix, F-E-L-I-X, Buena, B-U-E-N-A, Velix, V-E-L-I-X. Felix Buena Velix.
Yeah, it's a black man.
And
please follow him. He's a
we're
going
to have you back on because there's so much more to discuss with this stuff. And I'm sure there's going to be updates Javier Milei. He is now on our radar.
Oh,
so
we're going to have you back on when we take our podcast to Buenos Aires and we get recruited. By Malay.
When we move to Buenos Aires.
When we move to Buenos Aires, we're doing this in person.
That's a new goal guest. To get popular enough to where he pays us to move there and be a shill.
Yeah.
For his regime.
Shill, sorry.
Yeah. That's it. Thanks, Felix, for doing it. Everybody, check out his YouTube special, Swimming in the Drool of Giants. Kaplan, what should we do?
In the meantime, for real this time, let's get lost.
Get lost, everybody.
Thanks for that. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.